Welcome back to yet another episode of Spiritual Elevation. I am Sabby Speaks, the host of this show and the co-pilot of this flight. If you're new here, welcome. Here on Spiritual Elevation, we journey through spiritual principles and we learn how to effectively walk with Christ. So if you look to your left and if you look to your right, you may see false teachings and theological misunderstandings, but don't worry. We're going to get you out of there. All right. So on this flight, please, you will be pushed to dig deeper, to go further and to fly higher. So buckle in your seats, get ready for the turbulence and the repentance because it's coming. Enjoy the flight. So as you guys may or may not have noticed, I have a special guest here today. And I'm gonna let him introduce himself before we even get into the topic.
Hi guys, my name is Jerome. I'm from Worcester, Mass, and I'm the executive for Salvation Youth International Prayer Ministry, which is it started out as a patrol and taking a view.
No, we gotta keep going.
just redo. You can just edit. It was up to you to edit. Okay. So hi guys, my name is Jerome. I am the executive for Salvation Youth International Prayer Ministry, and we are a group that is filled with young people, young adults, the youth who are on fire for God, who, you know, our vision is to secure the next destiny of our generation. And so with that, I give it back to you.
Okay, period. You said Worcester, Mass. What is Worcester, Mass?
Worcester, Mass. That's where I'm from.
What is
Worcester, Massachusetts? The city and the states.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So you people, you didn't even make it sound cool like Atlanta, like ATL. Is Worcester, Mass.
Oh, it's very tough over here. Worcester, Mass. This is where if you're an American, you're looking for the capital of Ghana, is right here. Yeah. A lot of Ghanaians here. But yeah.
Okay, you people, you guys know me. I'm from Atlanta. So anything in the south is where it's at. I don't know about what's going on north, but okay. So, you guys, today our topic is something that the Lord put on my heart that I really wanted us to share. And I felt like Jerome was one of the best people that we could talk about this with because, so the topic is the attack on men in this generation. And one thing I know about Jerome is that man lives and breathes and sleeps in the spirit. He stays in the spirit at all times. So I just want to throw you the first question and ask, what do you feel like is one of the main targets or one of the main attacks on men in this generation?
One of the main ones. One of the main ones I'll say would be the attack on like Christian men's masculinity, if that's a right word to say. I believe it's so because I feel like especially now in this generation, now in these times, the Bible tells us in Revelation that like in the end times we'll see that the good will become bad and the bad will become good. And so now we realize that the world is trying to feminize men now in this generation. Mm-hmm. And that's why I feel like, you know, it's one of the biggest attacks. There's other ones which you can dive into after this, but I'll leave it to you.
No, that's T. So the world is trying to feminize men. And I mean, I can't deny that. I feel like I see that every day, especially with like the women's rights, feminism. I feel like a lot of what women are doing is that they're pulling down the men in order for women to rise. But in doing that, they're telling men, no, you can't do this as a man. No, you can't say this. You can't do this. And I do believe that in doing so, we are stripping men from their masculinity of certain things. Like nowadays, if a guy wants to say something that has anything to do with women's rights, it's like, shut up. You don't have a right to say that. Nowadays, men, y'all can't say nothing.
But it's funny how you say that, especially with the like, the world, you know, is it, they pick and choose when a man should be a man, which you hear that in conversations as 50-50, no, it has to be 100-0. So it's like they want men to be men when it comes to the aspect of maybe like financial gain or like when they are gaining something, then yeah, they want the man to be a man. But when it comes to like the man, like it's like you could only be a man when it comes to finances, maybe strength and other aspects. When it comes to you voicing out your opinion on certain topics, then you can't be, you have no say in this, which, yeah.
I mean, as a woman being raised in this generation, I mean, I sometimes fall on, you know, both sides of the thing, because me, I also don't believe in 50-50. Like, okay, let's say we're talking bills. Me, I'm not putting it in half. Just because, for me, as my feminine self, I don't know, I see myself being, like, under the caretaking of my husband. So, 70-30.
But, you know, it's crazy, too, because especially on that 50-50, that topic again, they want the guy to do 100 and then they do zero. But when it comes to maybe saying, oh, him having a say about maybe what you have to wear when you go in public, it's a no-no. But you're it's like you want him to be a man when you gain from it. But when he, as a man, is voicing out what he wants as a man from you, it becomes a problem. It's like, oh, no, you're not my dad. But then your dad should come and pay your everything for you. You know, but you know, it's just crazy how things work. And honestly, I feel like the reason why maybe things are also like that is because of how things are now and aspects of dating. You know, back then, there wasn't anything like dating, because most times it's either arranged marriages or like they meet and instantly they just marry. And we see the story in the Bible where even Abraham had to, Abraham, right? Abraham sent a servant to go get Isaac a wife. Yeah. You know, so we see that instance. So it's like, there wasn't any room for dating where it's like, women are dating men, but they're requiring from them things that a husband would provide. You know, and that's why we fall into even all forces, like maybe like sexual morality to immorality as well, because it's like you're expecting from him what a husband should provide, and he's gonna expect from you what a wife should provide, and those are one of, not that a woman only provides that aspect, but it's like we're saying dating, but it's really a marriage that you're in, right?
Tell me what women are expecting from men.
What women expect to have everything figured out, basically. From if you go on social media, you hear our conversations about, oh, I sometimes hear, and it's not all women, it's some, right, where they say, oh, he has to pay for my nails, he has to pay my rent, he has to pay my car or whatever, he has to pay my insurance. It's always he has to this. But it's like, if he's not married to you, he doesn't have to do any of those things. Right. The person that's supposed to do those things is your father. You know, because your dad gave her to you, and a man will leave his father, mother, and then go find his wife, right? So until you, the woman, you're found as a wife, the responsibility is to your parents, and not to the boyfriend that you're dating. You know, and I feel like because of that, it's like a lot of pressure has been placed on men now, because it's like you're dating, but you're really a husband, because you're expected of husband things, and if you don't have that bag or if you don't have that money, nobody will date you because they expect them for you to spend on them. But the spending shouldn't be from you. It should be from your husband or your father. But yeah, what do you think?
That's tea. I mean, it is tea because, I mean, the girls on social media is kind of like, yeah, you know, let him pay for the nails, let him pay for the hair, let him pay for this. And I mean, I can't speak from personal experience because I've never required so much from a guy just because I understand, like, transaction. If you're getting that much, what are you also giving? And I never want to get so much that now you're expecting something from me that I'm not willing to give. And so I guess that's a question that I always had is, like, what are the boundaries even in a relationship? Like, what am I supposed to be giving and what am I supposed to be getting, especially in a Christian context? Because I hear that as a girlfriend, you shouldn't be doing wife things. And now what I'm hearing from you is that a lot of girls are expecting husband things from a boyfriend. So I'm like, okay, so now what are the parameters of what boyfriends should do and husbands should do? And what are the parameters between what a girlfriend should do and what a wife should do? For example, I heard, don't cook for him. If you're a girlfriend, don't be cooking, because when you start cooking, he's going to start wanting your food, and that's not your husband. I also heard, don't do his laundry. If you go to his house and he got laundry all over the floor, don't just start picking it up. Like, let him, you know, this. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, ah, but y'all, if I want to cook and I enjoy cooking, why shouldn't I be able to do that? Or if I walk into your house and it's a mess, like there's no way I'm sitting on your couch seeing your drawers on the floor. Like, no, I'm going to be picking it up. And yeah. So like, I think that's for me, those are the things that I've heard. And I feel like I'm just going to be a natural human being. I'm just going to take care of you in the way that I feel like I need to. That's what I feel like I would give in a relationship. And I feel like in the sense of what I would receive and not receive, I feel like me, I'll receive financial help. That one you can give me, I'll take. But I feel like there's a limit.
Yeah. And so it's like, and don't get me wrong, it's like, it's not, there's nothing wrong with a guy taking care of someone that they are in love with, right? But when we, if we scratch that whole dating thing and replace it with courtship, which that's how, that's the Christian way, that's what we're supposed to do, you see that there's certain things, it's just like, so if you take dating, if a guy is dating you and they're not thinking about marriage, like, they're not going to be taking you seriously. But if you're in courtship and the courtship is not, the courtship is you like a guy and a girl submitted under a spiritual authority, and then them going through counseling sessions, them going through a bunch of various teachings from the spiritual authority to help them get to the point where they're about to marry. So in that aspect like this, And if you have somebody teaching you these things, they'll let you the girl know, they'll let you the guy know that these are things that you shouldn't be doing. But and honestly, if you're you should, I always say this thing where it's like, you should be able to take care of yourself first before you even think about marriage. If you can't take care of yourself on your own, then you're not ready for marriage at all. So if I, the guy, if I can't cook for myself, if I can't clean for myself, if I can't take care of anything here for myself, then there should be no reason for me to get married. Because the thing is, if I get married in this state, I'm just gonna come as I am, and the girl will also have to accept me as I am. And then the problem lays where it's like, now the girl's doing all the housework, and the guy won't even cook, the guy won't even step foot in the kitchen, he won't do anything. And it's like, all the pressures of the household is placed on the woman. It's because maybe the guy didn't know how to do it on his own. And then it comes to the financial aspect as well, where if you're a woman and you should be able to take care of your own self. You should be able to do your own maintenance, your nails, your hair on your own. Not saying that the guy shouldn't be able to help you out sometimes or like surprise you and things like that, but it's like, that shouldn't be his obligation. That obligation falls on you to be able to take care of yourself. And if you're unable, if you're like I said before, like, if you're independent on your own, then you'll be ready for marriage. If you can take care of yourself on your own, if you can live by yourself on your own, then you can be ready for marriage, you know?
You were saying something about you come as you are and your expectations for yourself coming into a relationship. And I felt that because one of the things that I've always had as an expectation, especially going into a relationship, is if you're a man and you don't know how to cook and you don't know how to clean and you don't know how like to just do the basic things in life, chale, you are not on the radar. And I just feel like, because regardless of being in a relationship and expecting someone else to do something, you should know how to do these basic things in life. But then it kind of even brings me to gender roles, because we see oftentimes, and especially in our Ghanaian culture, is, let me not even say Ghanaian culture, patriarchal culture, period. The man goes out and works, and then the woman stays home and cooks, cleans, does all that stuff. But we live in a day and age where we're actually straying away from that model, because women are going out and they're working too. Sometimes some guys are even stay-at-home dads. And so, don't you feel like it's valid to have gender roles or, like, I guess these stereotypes in place? Because one of the attacks that you were mentioning was that women are trying to feminize men. And in my opinion,
I said the society, the world. Because if you say woman, they'll come and beat me up. I didn't say woman, please.
Okay,
I said the world.
Society and the world is trying to feminize men, right? That's the attack that's on men. But I honestly, and correct me if I'm wrong, I honestly believe that gender roles are necessary, because I feel like there are certain things men should do, and then there are certain things women should do that when the men do it, it builds their testosterone. When the women do it, it builds their estrogen, and it keeps, you know, masculine and feminine where they need to be. So I wanna know your thoughts on that.
On that, as I'll say, like, let a woman be a woman and let a man be a man. Like you were just saying, there are things that comes natural to a woman that you should let her be who she is. People have a lot to say in this, like, in this time on social media. Everybody, if you go on social media, if you go on TikTok, everybody has something to say. 5 things to do as a man, 5 things to do as a woman. And then you hear people on all kinds of podcasts talking about all kinds of things that they want for themselves. But the thing is, what we don't realize is that social media It spits out people's ideologies, and then we, as we're watching it, we download it. The Bible tells us to protect our ears and our eyes because they are gateways. And so when we spend so much time on social media, what we realize is we're picking up people's ideologies. Yeah. And when in that essence, we're losing ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so I could be a man that is, I can be comfortable living by myself. I can be comfortable being all macho. But like, I go on social media and then maybe the girls are saying that, oh, we like a guy that is sensitive, a guy that is emotionally aware, a guy that is this. And I might try to be that person. And then in trying to be that person, I lose myself. Yeah. So what I'm saying is that, in a sense, no one should lose themselves trying to be someone that they are not. Because most times you try to be someone, if you fake it, it says fake it till you make it, but when you fake it till you make it, you might break it. So like that, and that's what you have to understand. Let's look at the scripture where it says that let's take the husband, the wife role, because that's how we can differentiate these two. Okay. God tells the woman to what? To respect the husband, to submit under the husband, understand that the husband is the head. But the thing is, when we say this, women will come and fight us because they think that where submission is a wrong thing. They think submission is a bad thing, and it's not. And we'll go into that after. But, and it says, husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church. So loving your wife like Christ loved the church means that you have to be able to die for your wife. You have to be able to take on any pain for your wife. You have to be able to take on the world for your wife. Christ took on the entire world. He took on our sins because he loved us so dearly. And so if we put it in that manner, then I'd say that, so in anything that I do, how if I view it as, okay, how does this implicate the rest of the body of Christ? Then I can be in my masculine zone, I guess. I don't know if I'm even making sense at this moment, but
I think you lost me a little bit.
Yeah, I think I drifted off. But essentially, it's... Hey, what was your question again?
The question was, okay, because you talked about masculine and feminine, like who even defines it? How do you define it? Let's just put it to the side. So I'm like, okay, so we put masculine and feminine to the side. So then how can a man be a man and a woman be a woman if we don't have these standards that characterize it? And then you brought it back to the husband and wife role.
Yeah, so the man has to be... The man... obviously, he's the protector, the provider. The woman is the one that's helping keep that household intact. So how can I be a man? By just being who God has said, told me to be the protector, to be the head, to try to lead in, you know, given any given situation. And to also, because if we are to love our wives like Christ loved the church, you have to understand that Christ also was a servant. He washed the feet of the disciples to symbolize that he's a servant first. So I should be able to serve my wife also in her respecting me. I should be able to serve her. So that question is hard because it kind of makes what we're saying is like contradict itself, you know, because I'm saying that let's mix it up and let's flush it down and let's be who God has said for us to be. But at the same time, it's like, how does a man be a man?
As you were speaking, I feel like the answer to my question was coming because let's say in different cultures, masculine and feminine means different things. Like we could say like, oh, in American culture, skirts are for girls. But in Irish culture, like it's very masculine to even wear a skirt because that's their culture. So I believe that masculine and feminine is defined based on whatever the culture says it is. However, being a man is just being what a man is in the Bible. When we see what God commands a man to be or what he commands a man to do, that's what a man is. Whenever he calls a woman to do this, that's what a woman is. So, for example, what you were using, I feel like that's maybe, is it 1 Peter or 1 Timothy, where they're saying women, this is Colossians, women submit to your husbands, respect your husbands, men, love your wives, this. So you know that as a husband, your job is to love your wife. You know that as a woman, as a wife, your job is to respect your husband. Okay, but then we go to Proverbs 31. A Proverbs 31 woman is this. She has a business. She runs her home. She provides food for her family. You look at that, you say, okay, this is what a godly woman looks like. Like, she does a lot. She does a lot. I feel like when you read different parts of the Bible, you get to see what a godly man looks like. Thank God we have examples. We have David. We have Abraham. We have people. I mean, they're flawed, of course. But you see what God took pleasure in as a man. And so you see that and you start to take it upon yourself and define who you are based on what the Bible says a man and a woman is supposed to be.
Yeah, and as you're speaking, what came into my mind was God culture. Like, it's like, let's not pick on the culture of any world, any ethnicity or any race. Be God cultured, you know. And as a Christian, that's our culture. Our culture is in Christ. And so if I'm following Christ and doing whatever he wants me to do, following his footsteps, then my culture is him. And so if he says, Jerome, I'll jump. If he says, Sabi, jump, you jump. So, you know, and like I was explaining to you the other day about how, so when a man and woman comes together, they become one flesh. But then they also have to become one spirit. When the Holy Spirit came, we became one spirit with him. And so as long as, let's say if I'm married, and as long as I'm one flesh with my wife and both of us were one spirit with the Holy Spirit, then we're one vessel. And so there won't be any gender role issues because the Holy Spirit will give to her a signal on what she has to do, and the Holy Spirit will give me a signal on what I have to do. And together we'll do things that will equate to helping the destiny that he's assigned us. Because when God brought you on earth, he assigned a destiny to you, but your destiny wasn't complete. And then he entrusted that destiny to somebody else. And that person is who you will meet. And then when you marry, and then the two destinies come together, you guys, you'll be able to fulfill your destiny together. Most times people misunderstand and think that the woman has to leave what she's doing to come and support the man's destiny. No, it's the destiny that God has given both of you has to align. And if when they both align, that is when you both will fulfill the destiny that God has given to you in a grander scheme, because you're one flesh, you're one spirit with him. And then the one destiny will then flow. But when we start to separate ourselves, there shouldn't be any separation. You know, that's why I was saying we need to flush these ideologies aside, because it's like these masculine, feminine, they bring about a separation. And who do we know that loves separation? The enemy. The enemy wants to separate us from jump. He wanted to separate Adam and Eve from God initially. So he brought about separation, and since then he's been bringing about separation. And so now he doesn't come and attack you individually, because now we're spread about. So what does he do? He's now in the systems. He's now in social medias, and then people are spewing ideas that they think is from them, but it's really not from them. They're ideas that are being influenced. They're being influenced by other spirits to bring about a separation. And so social media is not just a social media. But you go there and you see this Pop the Balloon, all these podcasts, and people are saying whatever that they want to say.
The ideas, those ideas,
it's not coming from, they might think it's coming from them, but as a Christian, you see, we know that we're in an unseen war going on. Yeah. And it's either you're with this side or you're with this side. And so whatever side that you choose to be on, you will be influenced by the spirit that is in charge of that thing. And if you choose to be on God's side, I feel the presence. If you choose to be on God's side, what happens is, he will influence you to do the things in his way. If you choose to be on this side, they will influence you to spew things in a way that will bring about a separation in the body. And so now that's what we have going on. Everybody has this thing, and then it looks as if men are fighting women. But that should never be the case. We're supposed to all be one.
Oh, so many questions are flowing. So this is something that I'm currently studying in one of my classes. So we're studying Paul's letters. And of course, this one is infamous because you have Paul in a church in Corinth, and he's telling women, like, be quiet, go home and ask your husband, like, don't speak in church. And so now, when we have that in our scriptures, you see a lot of people have used that to say women can't be preachers. People use that to say women can't be pastors, women shouldn't be in ministry. And if you even look at our history, men have mainly been the one preaching and women have been the one singing in the choir and things like that. But it was rare to see a woman on the pulpit. Nowadays, we have people like Sarah Jakes Roberts and Stephanie Ike and people who are women and they're preaching. And so I think for me, I was like, I know that's what Paul said, but I feel like context matters. I feel like in the situation, he was not saying every woman anywhere should not be in ministry on a pulpit, you know, mm-hmm. preaching. But I feel like that's what has been interpreted to now. So I want to throw that question at you. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
From my study of that specific scripture, what I realized is that, like you said, context matters. And Paul wasn't speaking to all women. He was speaking to the woman in Corinth, which mm-hmm. was, correct me if I'm wrong, there was something previously about like false teachings or the woman just, you know, causing about quarrels and whatnot in the congregation. And so when he was writing this letter, remember when Paul was writing this letter, he was writing a letter to a church. Yeah. And later on, we know that when God was bringing the idea of the canon, which is the Bible, they brought about all these texts from different people, and then they combined it to become what we now know. And they didn't combine it with their human language. Let's clear that. And so in that context, Paul was writing to that specific church. In that instance, and he was advising them that, no, let the woman go and then listen, submit under their husbands, because it's like they are bringing about a problem in that specific time, in that specific place. If maybe the donkeys were the ones to cause the problem, Paul would already say the donkeys should just shut up and go, because it was addressed to them, you know. And that's essentially what it is. And people, obviously, when you read the Bible, you have to not just read it from just one eye view. You have to back up sometimes. And it's so interesting sometimes. And for me, when I went to Bible school, that's when I was like, my mind, because it's like, I sit down and then I'm not a morning person, but I go to my 8 o'clock class and the professor is just breaking out the Bible. And I'm just there like, oh my God, like context actually like makes, it just makes a lot of sense. And it's crazy. And so, yeah, people need to not just read the word of the day. They need to do their homework. Yeah.
No, that's tea. Because I'm currently in seminary school. And sometimes whenever I'm in class, I'm like, oh my gosh. Because when you read a lot of scripture at face value, of course you get nutrients. But whenever you go back into the kitchen and see how they made the food, you're like, wow. Like, so this is what was meant by this. And so that was always my situation with the letter that Paul wrote to the women. Because I was like, now, God, the way you have women in this day and age, there's no way that you said that we should shut up. There's no way that you said we shouldn't be on pulpits, especially when you're calling us to change lives and revolutionize, you know, the world. And so, yeah, I really feel like I hope some traditions can die to that mentality that women are not meant to, you know, be preaching and lead people. And yeah, I just,
Session Joel says the word, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. It didn't say I'll pour my spirit upon just men. And then it even went further to say that your sons and your daughters, it didn't say just your sons. Yeah. So it's essentially, I feel like the reason why maybe things was misinterpreted back then was because of maybe the lack of the lack of educational background, and now, and the lack of historical context, because now we know that, because as times are evolving, we're getting more, like, it's like we're finding different things. We're realizing that there's actually more to this thing than what it actually is. So back then, we just got the Bible, they just read it as it is, and then just took it as it is. They didn't they didn't think to do any research or anything like that, you know, because back then the goal was for people to just even know Christ. And so the agenda for God was for them to just know him, even if it's just the bare minimum, just as long as you just get to know him. But now we're getting to a time where it's like the darkness is getting thicker, and so the light has to get thicker. And in order for the light to get thicker, you have to go on a journey to be able to acquire that, you know, that light, you know. And so when God wanted to visit the Israelites, he didn't visit them when Moses was down there with them. He had Moses journey up, because the darkness down there was getting thicker. So Moses had to go higher to be able to acquire a stronger light. So when he came down, his face shone bright with light. And the Israelites were even afraid of him, because that they were in the dark, and God had to bring him up there. And so I feel like that's what's happening now. And God has given us, and I even believe in that verse when it says Moses went up and then Moses saw the back of God. I don't believe it was a revelation that the Holy Spirit was giving me, was that he was showing him the past. Because how do we get the story of Adam and Eve? Where did we get it from? That was when he was up there and God was showing him the past. So he saw the back of God. God is not a physical being, so God wouldn't have a back. So he saw the back, he saw the creation happening. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have Genesis, Exodus. We have the history behind how God created, you know, the Garden of Eden and whatnot. And so so the more you journey up, the more God will begin to bring you light, begin to bring you knowledge. And I feel like people just need to not just take the Bible as just words, because I could just read this and it's just words to me. But if it's not backed by the Holy Spirit, I won't understand anything.
Period. You people see why I brought Jerome here to talk, because the guy is using spiritual wisdom plus Bible plus this one plus this one. So then let me ask you this. There are a lot of young men nowadays who are being swept up by the current of social media, swept up by the devices of the enemy. What is your encouragement to young men, especially in this time?
I'll say for me, my biggest thing is not giving up. You know, the devil has you when he gets you to give up. The whole point that the enemy is trying to make is for you to just give up on God and walk away from him. The attacks that the enemy is bringing you that you're going through, understand that it's a grander scheme. And as long as you keep on fighting, the Bible says that, I think is it in Jude, that says that to him who is able to keep us from falling, right? So there comes a point where God will keep you from making mistakes. There comes a point where God will make you to be that successful person that you want to be, as long as you don't give up. We hear the story of the guy that made the light bulb. He failed how many times? 100 times. You know, so it's like, get your failing, sometimes when we fail, we think we're going back, but sometimes failure is you going forward. You know, just because you're going down doesn't mean that you're not going up. In the plane, when the plane's about to go up, it gains momentum and then it goes like this, right? And as it's going like this, if you're at the bottom place, you might think that, hey, I'm going down like this. But just because you're going down doesn't mean that the plane's gonna gain ascension. So realize that like every failure, it's not meant for you to descend. Sometimes some failures are meant to propel you. The one last thing that I would say was concerning that is, don't waste your pain. As a young man, don't waste your pain. Let that pain fuel your hunger, you know, because there's such a thing as you receiving fuel from hunger. So if maybe as a guy, you see a girl, you want the girl, and then you go approaching the girl and the girl's like, no, you're not my spec, or you don't have whatever. Use that. Don't just wallow in pain. Use that pain as fuel to say, you know what? A year from now, she'll look at me and use that pain as fuel to dig deeper in God. For me, like this, one thing that I use as my pain is, let's say when I pray for people and they don't get healed, it's like that thing fuels my hunger, because it's like I have to, you know, I tell myself I will revisit this thing. I will revisit this same problem. And so just because you fail today, it doesn't mean that tomorrow you fail. And so that's what I have to say.
Don't waste your pain. No. Hey, Charlie, you're speaking to me. Forget the young men. You speak to me. Because especially, I feel like I go through certain situations and I'm like, okay, God, well, let's just be emotional. Let me just cry about this. You know, let's just talk about this. And sometimes I even feel wrong for using that pain to do something about it, if that makes sense, because I don't want to act out of emotion, or I don't want to act, you know, haphazardly. And so I just let the pain go by, and then I just go about my regular day to day. But I think that was really encouraging to me, that it's like, okay, so you're upset about this matter. That means, you know, it's a sign for you to change something. And my reverend, she used to always say this, where she was like, irritation is a sign for change. If you're irritated, that means something is rubbing you the wrong way for a particular reason. Why are you having this irritation towards a certain person? Or why does this thing bother you so much? Either you now have to dig into yourself and see, okay, God, am I the problem? Or is this thing the problem? Or is this person the problem? Whatever it is, I have to figure it out, and I have to change it. I have to work towards maybe developing boundaries or changing the system, you know? So that really spoke to me. When you just said that.
Yeah, it's crazy. People, we waste pain so much, but pain is a strong source of hunger. People always pray, oh God, how do I read my Bible more? How do I pray more? Use the pain, you know, in seasons where people hurt you, use the pain. You know, most times, and I from studying people's lives, I realize that many people come to God, especially, let's say, women, when they are heartbroken. And that's when they go on a journey to find God. They go on a journey, oh, I need to, and then it's like when they try everything else has failed, then they go find God. Or when it comes to the meals, when maybe finances is not going well, and maybe they've tried the street life, they've tried everything else, then they finally come to God. But they don't realize that it was the pain that brought them to God. And so sometimes some pain, so God allows the pain there so you can come to him, you know, because he's trying all avenues and you're not listening. And so he has to allow the pain bring you to him. Sometimes when things are happening to us, like just take a step back and think and see how can I maximize this to get myself hungry for God? How can I maximize this pain? Yes, she rejected you, but okay, so what are you going to do about it? You can just wallow in your guilt.
So you're talking about, share your experience. Why are you?
Oh, No. Hey, please, it's not me. It's not me. It's just what it's like, most people, most especially men, what really maybe might bring them to a place of pain is maybe rejection, because no guy wants to be rejected, all right? And then I mentioned finances a lot as well, because that's one aspect that guys take seriously. And so I'm using this example so they know that, you know what, you can, because I can come and I can give scriptural examples, but it wouldn't resonate with them. They need to know that there is an avenue for your pain to be used. God
So
can use your
share your
pain.
experience with rejection so we can really
Oh no. Oh, I mean, there's no rejection. There's no peer experience with rejection, please. Please, there's no experience with rejection. My
Okay.
for me, my thing was just for me, I used my pain of failing God to fuel myself to him. And sometimes when you make mistakes, especially if you know what you're supposed to do and you make mistakes, what happens is that we end up isolating ourselves, right? And I was listening to Pastor Philip, wait, what's his name?
From 28
ATL guy 2819. Yeah, he was telling a
minutes.
story of how his son, one day he came home, his son had used crayons to write on the wall, and he came home and he's like, "Why did you do it?" And the son, and then he forgave his son, but then later on at night the son was crying, and then he went to him and said, "Why are you crying?" He said, "Oh, of course I drew on the wall." But it's like, "Why are you crying?" "Because I forgave you." But the son didn't know that the son knew the father was forgiving him, but he was still wallowing in the fact that he messed up. And so, but if you run away from it, you're only gonna make that pit stronger. You're only gonna make that spirit stronger, and your pain could be used to your advantage.
Khaled, y'all speaking something. Wow, okay. I would just say to the young men in this generation, whenever I do talk to some of my younger youths and I speak to them, I'm always wanting them to run back to God, because I really do see that the enemy has a very, very, very strong hold on young men, especially in this generation. And there's so many avenues. One thing that I've realized, especially just living in Georgia, is that you don't see a lot of examples of godly men. If anything, everyone wants to be a rapper. Everyone wants to be a trapper. They just want to be out in the streets. And the lifestyle is appealing until it's not, you know? And so I just want to encourage young people, young men who see God and have a relationship, to be loud about it. Be proud about it. Just be you. Be who God has called you to be. And do not be afraid to take that extra step in preaching to people, in telling people about the Bible, because we do tend to shy away from conversations about God, especially as young people, because we want to fit in. We want people to think of us as cool. But it's like, yo, it's actually cool to talk about God, because everyone has an experience with God one way or another. And so share your experience, open that door, and see what happens. So I would just tell young people, like, really focus on your relationship with God. You do not have to look like everybody else. And take a break from social media, because you're being brainwashed. Period.
That one. That one. Period. Look at Pastor Philip. Bring your yo-yo-ness,
Oh,
bring it to God.
yes. Oh my gosh. I know like we're ending, but no, if you've never heard of 2819 Church, please look it up. I was seeing him on my TikTok and the man was talking about some, you taking her to Cabo for what? You sharing a hotel room for, oh my, that man will, like, if you feel like Christianity is too like soft and they just be worshiping, tune into 2819. Pastor Philip will get you right.
Yeah, that guy's he's different. He's different.
To the podcast with Jackie O'Perry and her husband.
I haven't listened to it. I saw just a snippet of the crayon thing, but I haven't listened to it. But I know he's mentioned that story a lot, about
Okay.
how he used to mess up. Yeah.
Y'all know, tune in to Meet the Perrys, because they had him speak and he shared his testimony about how, you know, he even tried the Nation of Islam. He was born and raised in New York, got arrested, all of that, and God really redeemed him. So if you really do feel like you can't find a church that really gets you, try him. He gonna slap you a couple of times. Yes, but this marks the end of this podcast episode. Jerome, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for helping us understand, like, even the mind of a man when it comes to things of God, the way society places you and stuff like that, because I learned a lot, and I'm grateful for you.
Thank you for having me. And because I was surprised. I was like, hey, why she want to do the thing? Well, clearly God, obviously, if you guys can see, we're matching. The background was almost the same.
Unintentionally.
So clearly God did this for a reason. And so for me, I just pray that this will reach those out there that need it, whether young men, women, because anybody could benefit from it. So
That's true.
You guys do your best of sharing, and subscribe to our page. I believe that's what the word is.
Yeah. Subscribe, follow. Okay, so of course you already know Mr. Jerome on Instagram. You guys could go ahead and follow me on all social media platforms at SabbySpeaks01. That's S-A-B-B, not V-V-Y, Speaks01. And so, Jerome, would you mind closing us out in prayer?
Okay. Father, we bless your name, we honor your name, we adore you, we exalt you, because you are holy. There's absolutely no one like you. Father, we pray that, Lord, that as we've completed this fast, that Father, that may... Jesus Christ. Because I'm breaking our fast soon. Oh, God, have mercy. Okay, God, Father, we bless your name, we exalt you. We ask the Father that as we are ending this podcast, that Lord, that let the words that we spoke, let it not just have been mere words that came, but Lord, let it be words that pierces the very soul. And I pray, oh God, that to the ones that are listening, I pray for strength for them. I pray for an endurance for them. Father, may you give them the strength to keep on fighting. May you give them the will to keep on fighting. Father, anyone that is thinking about giving up, anyone that is in need of help, I pray, oh Lord, that may you make that help available to them. We release, Father, the grace for strength, the grace to stay, the grace to keep on fighting, because we understand, oh God, that in this war that we're fighting, the enemy's goal is to just get us to give up. But Father, we refuse to be fallen warriors forever. And so I pray, oh God, to the ones that are listening, that Father, that may you strengthen them, may you quicken them, may you impart your grace of righteousness upon them, oh God, that as they listen to this, may they not leave the same, may their lives be changed forever, oh God. I pray, oh God, that Lord, let this episode be a special, but Father, but as evidence that you are here with us, Father, let us reach the lives of many. Let us reach the life of many. Lord, the goal isn't for us to gain fame or gain popularity. The goal is for your word to go about and flood the world. And so I pray, oh God, that Lord, that as we've ended this, that Lord, let this blow up like never before. May they be able to hear. And Father, like how the two men that encountered you after you resurrected, after they listened to it, may they question and tell themselves that their hearts not burn when they were speaking. And so I pray, oh God, that Lord, that may you enlist each and every listener listening into your army in the end times. I pray for strength. I pray for grace. I pray for mercy. I pray for endurance. I pray, God, that you will show up and you show out for them. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.